Good morning. I see that the Goods are here. Married one off, did you? And you look alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic this morning? At the end of the, tell me the preacher at the end of it said, and it was very good. If you like the kids, and who doesn't like the kids coming up here, which is wonderful. Next week, our whole program, the kids are going, at least during the sermon time, are going to provide the Christmas program. So that's very exciting next week. I look forward to that. This morning we're going to talk about, as Mark mentioned, about being formed into the image of Christ, as you can see on the screen. It is our custom that if you need prayer from our elders or you'd like to talk to them about being a follower of Jesus, you can meet with them in the conference room out the back doors and down to the left. They will be happy to pray with you. Of course, if you want the whole congregation to pray for you, you could just come to the front and let me know at the end of the lesson. We will all pray for you as well. Let's pray to God. Father, we are thankful for your word that speaks powerfully into our lives, that is like a sword that penetrates into our souls, into our very being, to reveal who we are and to shape who we are. We're thankful for your Spirit who uses that word to move us and to shape us. And as we think, Father, this morning about what it means to be like your Son, ask that you bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. So this week, my wife was driving around the loop on the east side of town, knitting while she was driving. A police officer saw her, got up behind her, and over at Star, stopped behind her. She had the light, stopped there, and he got on the bullhorn and said, "Pull over!" And she stuck her head out the window and said, "No! Cardigan!" Now, if you know my wife, you know that that's not true. But the great thing about jokes is that usually somebody's missing the point. And it goes well with commercials as well, like this one.
Instead of mailing everyone my vacation photos, I'm saving a ton of time by posting them to my wall.
Ooh, I like that one.
It's so quick. It's just like my car insurance. I save 15% in just 15 minutes.
I save more than that in half the time.
I unfriend you.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, that's not how this works. I love that commercial. That's not how any of this works. It's missing the point. Well, of course, that has happened a lot in church history. The church has often made a pastime of missing the point. Some have said that the history of Christianity could be tracked as the history of moving from one crisis to the next. And some of those crises have been pretty significant issues that really had to be dealt with. One of them in the first century, some people were running around saying Jesus did not come in the flesh as a human being. And so Apostle John, the Apostle Paul go out of their way to say that's not right because that undermines the basic story of the gospel. That undermines the gospel. In the fourth century, there was a similar problem. You had some people debating the nature of Christ. Was he fully God or not? Well, again, it went to the story. It goes to the story and undermines the story if you say he is not, because then God sort of sent a flunky down here to take care of his business instead of coming down himself to deal with it. But sometimes as you look at church history, you really have to wonder about some of these things that have become a real crisis in the church, something they really had to deal with. In the 1700s, the Presbyterian Church in Scotland was going through these issues, and they had this big fight, and they had this group leave. And so then you had seceder Presbyterians and anti-seceder Presbyterians. And among one of those groups, you had this big debate about whether the burgher of the town, the mayor, could decide for all of the churches in the town whether they were going to be seceder or anti-seceder. So then you had another split and another divide there. And then within one of those groups then, you had this big debate about whether you could get new light from Scripture, that is new revelation, or not get new light so that it would just be old light. So you had new light people and old light people. So you ended up with You could be a seceder burger Presbyterian, or you could be a seceder anti-burger Presbyterian, Or you could be an anti-seceder burger Presbyterian, or a seceder burger Presbyterian, or anti-seceder burger New Light Presbyterian, or anti-seceder burger O-Light Presbyterian. And some people from our own movement, our own heritage, looked at that, namely Alexander Campbell, and said, that is a mess. We need to do away with all of that business, and we just need to be Christians only, which is a really wonderful idea, but of course we've had our own history that is not unlike that. For instance, can congregations cooperate with their money to support a missionary or to support an orphan's homes? Some say yes, some say no. Well, how about cups in the communion? Just one cup or multiple cups? Some say one, some say many. Does the Spirit indwell an individual, or does the Spirit only work through the Bible, through the Word? Some say the Word, some say indwells. Is it pre, post, or amillennialism, or is it I don't know millennialism? Different answers there as well. Can women actually stand at the end of the pew and pass the communion tray, or can they only pass it if they're seated in the pew? Big debate. How about a piano or a guitar in worship service? Some say yes, others say no. A cappella only. Well, which one of those issues really matters, is really central, is really important? It really depends on who you ask. For some, this notion of pooling all your money together so you can support an orphan home, or you pooling all your money together to support a missionary and debating about that, for some people, debating about that is just ridiculous. For other people, it goes to the heart of Scripture and the authority of Scripture. For some, it's ridiculous to say, well, a woman can pass the communion if she's sitting down, but if she's standing up, oh, that's a big sin. Other people say, but again, it goes to the authority of Scripture and women's role in church. So which is it? Which is crucial? Which is it that is at the heart of the gospel? And again, it depends on who you ask. So how about this morning? We ask the Bible. Or more specifically, let's ask the Apostle Paul. And should you ask Paul the question, which is central, which is at the heart of the gospel, which is really crucial, the Apostle Paul's answer is consistent. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For instance, to the Christians in Corinth, he wrote a couple of times about this. He said to them, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Later in that letter, he said this, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." And the reason this is central, the reason this is so crucial for Paul, is because the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus deals with the problem, namely the problem of sin and death. The problem is sin, and the way sin disrupts my relationship with God. The problem is sin, and the way sin distorts me as a human being. The problem is sin, and the death that comes as a result of sin. And so God brings a resolution. He comes as a human being and dies to eliminate sin, and then He's raised to life to overcome the power of death. And that enables us, you and I, to become all that God ever intended us to be made in the image and likeness of God. In case you were ever wondering what that would look like, you just look no farther than Jesus. The gospel writers tell us the life of Jesus. They don't skip straight from birth to death. They want to tell us about this person. And you read the New Testament letters, and they're telling us about this life and how we should imitate this person of Jesus. And so you have the Apostle Paul, who is working in what is now modern-day Turkey, working with these churches in this area called Galatia, encouraging them, preaching to them. And what is it that's the focus of his ministry and the focus of his preaching? This is what he says. "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." The point is that we will become like Christ, who is the prototypical human being. He is what we are supposed to be. We are to take on that character. And writing to the Christians in Rome, he said the same thing. And you heard this in the scripture reading a moment ago. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. This is the point. This is the center of the gospel. This is what the gospel is all about. It's not about cups and how many you can use or can't use. It's not about pianos and whether you can use them or not. It's not about women and whether they can stand or sit down. It's not about whether you cooperate with pooling the money together to support missionaries and support orphans' homes and that sort of thing, because none of those things deal with the issue of sin and death, and none of those things form us into the image of Christ. It is difficult to imagine that before all time, God sat down, the Father sat down with the Son and said, "Son, listen, if we're going to do this whole creation thing, we're going to have some problems if we're going to give these people free will, because sin is going to come into the world." And the Son then saying to the Father, "Yes, Father, but if they will only use one cup, then everything will be all right. Or yes, if they will only use the money out of this pool for supporting orphans' homes and not pool their money together, then everything will be okay and sin and death will be done away with." We cannot imagine such a conversation, because I guarantee you such a conversation never took place. Since the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus and being formed into the image of Christ is the point, then really on some level everything else becomes peripheral. Things might be equally true to that, but they are not equally important. And we get that. We understand that, don't we? Husbands, there are a lot of true things about your wife, aren't there? Oh, she's smart. She's beautiful, funny, and warm, a fantastic mother. But she's wrong about where the couch should be in the living room. Now, if you're smart, you know which of those truths is more important than the other, right? We understand that. We get that. Every truth may be true, but not every truth is of equal importance. It might be true that the early church did not use a piano in worship service, but that is not equal to the truth of Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ resurrected. It might be true that those early Christians were premillennial or postmillennial or I don't know millennial, but that is not central to the gospel, and that is not equal to the truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is not equal to the truth of us being formed into the image of Christ. The center of the gospel is that message, Christ crucified, Christ raised, and how that shapes us to be like Christ. And so we have our logo. You've been seeing that on the bulletin, I hope. Our logo, the star, growing into His image. This is the vision our elders have for us. This is the focus for us as individuals, for me and for you, but for us corporately. Because we, church, are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, collectively, we are to be formed into the image of Christ. But to actually take that as our motto, as our vision of what we want to do and what we want to be, really takes a little bit of a shift in thinking for some of us. Because for some of us, it's really all about in or out. Being in or out. And if you're out, you have to do something to get in. And what is it you have to do? Well, of course, that varies depending on different churches, but you usually have to believe certain things and do certain things. For instance, you have to confess that Jesus is Lord and to be baptized into Christ, and then you move from the out category into the in category. And now your ticket is punched. And so that when you die, you get to go to heaven. You're not changed, but your status has changed. And so now you're a heaven-bound person. This is complicated by all those who think that all truths are equally true, because for them, Everything matters. Everything's about biblical authority, so it matters whether you use an instrument or not, just as much as if Jesus was crucified and resurrected. It matters whether you pull your money together for an orphan's home, just as much as Jesus crucified and resurrected. All truths are equally true. And you combine that now, all truths being equally true, with being in or out. And you have to go from being out to being in, but you have to get everything right. You have to be baptized right. You have to organize your church right. You have to do worship right. And if you do anything wrong, you are out. You go back from being in to being out. And some of us who really take that seriously lay in bed at night wondering, am I in or am I out? But I will say there is a little bit of an attraction to this model. It's kind of like having a membership card. Lisa and I have a membership card to Sam's. Walk in the door, show the card. They don't stop us, just wave us right on through, which does not happen at the airport, by the way. Wave us right on through. Hey, we pay our membership dues, show up from time to time. We're good. We're members. We're in. I don't have to change when I have a membership card. I can still be greedy, and I have my ticket punched. I'm in. I can go home from worship service today and look at pornography on my computer. No problem. My ticket's punched. I'm in. My status has changed. I'm not changed. No problem. I'm in. I can still lie to my boss on Monday morning. I can still be self-centered. Because it's not about me being changed. It's about my status being changed, going from out to going to in. Boxes checked. Dues paid. Membership card. Heaven bound. But as the lady in the insurance commercial says, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works. How it works, the point, is that we become the people that God always intended us to be. That we grow into the image of Christ. The point is that we become like Jesus, which is not a static out or in sort of thing. It is a movement thing. It is a growing thing. It is a process thing. It is a journey thing that all of us are on. Which is why, to the Corinthians again, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed. Not a one of us popped up out of the baptistry and bam, we were just like Jesus. This is a process we go through. It is a journey that we are on from one degree of glory to the next. A process of change and growth. A process of becoming. That's how it works. That's how it works. But it really only works if you want it to work. It really only works like that if you actually want to be like Jesus. And if you really want it, then you have to do the one thing that Jesus has called us all to do, not once, but calls us to do on a daily basis. We have to do this thing over and over. And what it is we have to do is get rid of that self-centeredness. We have to die. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And it is in the daily death to the corrupted self that we find daily life. It is in the daily death to the corrupted self that we are formed and being formed into the image of Christ. It is in the daily death to the corrupted self that we are being made new. New. We're not trying to get into heaven, get our ticket punched so we can get into heaven. We're not trying to get into heaven. What we're trying to do is get heaven into us. But do you want it? Or do you just want your ticket punched? Do you want to be like Christ? Or do you just want to be considered in? Do you want to be like Christ and be changed, or do you just want your status changed? Think about that while we stand and sing.